Before I go into the message, I think there is a little reminder. Essay writing. It is your testimony that counts. And I would urge as many as can write, can write, do try and write. Don't refuse. Don't say, well, I can't. You know, testimonies have a strange power that not everybody has that appeal. So the KJV, that is the power, the Bible we hold in our hands, is God's word for the end of time. Do you agree? If so, write and tell us why you agree. And God will bless you for it. Our theme for today is the biblical fruits of giving. Why do we give? And the paradox is, the more you give to God, the more He gives to you. So our Lord Jesus says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. It doesn't mean you just give haphazardly and anyhow. We don't. We wait on the Lord and be instructed how to give. Why do we give? These are the lessons we have been going through the last few weeks, reading from Paul's epistles to the Corinthians. Now this morning we have read, and may I turn your attention to the passage, the same passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And again, may I remind all of you, not some of you, but all of you, if you have a red pen, and if you don't have, find one from today and keep it in your pocket. Whenever you read the Bible and there are verses that appeal to you, that are meaningful to you, underline, make a note there, and soon you learn to love God's Word more. And the key verse, I would say the golden text here in the passage we read this morning is in the very last verse, 2 Corinthians 9:15. Do you see that verse? Mark it, and then you remember it. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. What is that unspeakable gift? The gift that defies, that cannot be fully defined and spoken of in words that you can find. Unspeakable gift. God has given us His Son, this gift that is above all gifts, the gift which gives us life eternal, that is the solution to death and the sin problem. Why is the world in such a turmoil today? Are you touched? Are you shocked by the headlines every day? One day it says, the whole market is collapsing. And this is not Singapore. This is America, London, Tel Aviv, China, Japan, everywhere around the world. Do you know that we live in a global village? Today what happens halfway around the world impacts us immediately because of what? Technology, computers, instant communication. And so these things happen. And above all these changes and uncertainties and the falling stock market and the fear that grips people's heart that causes panic, we have a Savior who changes not. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And you and I who know Him as Savior can thank Him every day. Do you? Especially these days. Thank God we have a wonderful Savior who does not change. Not like the stock exchange, the index, one day up, one day down. And terrible when it goes down, everybody's heart sinks. We have a Savior who is alive forevermore. Always at hand, always available. And the lessons we have learned from these few weeks of preaching is, Jesus says to you and to me, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Taken wisely and in the context of what he says, how he says it, why he says it, you must understand why it is more blessed to give than to receive. Think of the person who has nothing to give. A beggar, destitute, with nothing. How sad is his situation. And the one who can walk by him and give him a little relief, he is more blessed. More blessed than the one who receives, isn't he? Of course. But then, what we understand from the text is, oh dear friends, giving is the privilege and the blessing that comes to Christians in a very special way. Not anyhow, not haphazard giving, or show off giving, or giving with the motive to get. But when we give it because of Jesus Christ our Lord and for a purpose, there is blessing. We give because God gave us first. We give because He has given us a motive and a reason to give. What is it you give? We all have put in an offering this morning. Did you think and ponder what you're going to give? Do you do that every Lord's Day? I thank God that I was brought up to give by my mother, father, of course. And of course, when you are a child, you don't earn anything. You receive from mother or from father. And mother says, so and so, this is your pocket money. However, give so much to the Lord. I always remember, 1/10, 1 in 10. If mother doesn't give you anything, you got nothing to give. Now he gives to me. And I say, mother is acting in the place of God, the giver of gifts to the children. So we do. Now, in the Lord Jesus Christ, teach our children. 1/10 is a good level to begin with. If I don't give you, you got nothing. If God doesn't give to us, we have nothing equally. How is it we began to earn and to accumulate? How? Except God gives the breath in our nostrils, the health that gives us energy to go around, a mind, a sound mind to understand things and to sit our exams and pass, and eventually enabling us to hold a job. Do you not think these things are important? And who is it who gives us this brain inside here that can think? All these things come from God. And when you realize this, even if you give 2/10, 3/10, it's still worth it because except God gives to us first, we cannot give to Him. That is reasonable. So, as Christians, we must ponder. Putting your gift into that bag is good. But better still is you understand why you give and how you give, how much you give. God has given to us a part in His work. It is amazing that we are not only saved from sin and from everlasting destruction. Once we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we become servants of God. Do you know that? In the old days when Singapore was a colony, and those who are on government service have a badge here, OHMS, on His Majesty's service. Very distinguished badge, you know, in those days. And the white man is the chief, big white chief, and all of us are just colonial people. Today, of course, we are no longer a colony. But we understand our Lord is more prestigious, much more powerful than the colonial masters in the days. And we who are in His service, we also have that badge on His Majesty's service. Do you know that? And when we are in that service, we give to Him. So the Apostle Paul says, we are laborers together with God. Do you remember the last commandment that God gave to His disciples, which applies to us, to you and to me? What did Jesus say before He ascended to heaven? Matthew 28:20. Go into all the world. It's the last three verses, 18, 19, 20. Go into all the world and teach all nations. That is our business. Jesus has done His work. He's now in heaven, praying for us and sending us forth. We must go. And we go to tell, and that telling process requires, of course, to support missions, the money that goes with missions. That's why we give here. Do you know how much of our money goes to missions? The topic for today is biblical fruits of giving. What fruits are there in giving? Well, these are practical points that we must consider and understand. Do you know where this money goes to? To support this building, this beautiful building. And this beautiful building is a fruit of our giving. Do you know that? It didn't just spring out of the ground. This building costs money. Whose money? Your money and my money. Those who gave. So it is important today as we think of biblical fruits of giving. What are the fruits? What are the things that happen because you and I know how to give? For if we do not know how to give, then how can we build a building like this? This building was built at a cost of $1.5 million. Today, you can talk of $15 million. Yes. But this was 30 odd years ago. These are the fruits. And you give to God with a purpose. When God sends you forward to be one of His servants, and there was a group of us that left Life Church to come here to begin a new work. This is the biblical fruit of giving. We give because God gave to us, and when it was time, we gave to build this house of God. Now I have chosen for our instruction also a passage from Old Testament. And you'll be amazed at the way the old temple of Solomon was built. May I turn you to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And then you catch a glimpse of the spirit of giving and the spirit of building God's house. Today we sit in cool comfort, air-conditioned comfort, with plenty of space, and every modern amenity. Not in those days. 1 Chronicles 29. Please follow me as I read. And we are reminded of what happened in building that most wonderful, wonderful temple. It is a wonder to all nations who ever saw it. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Furthermore, David the king said to all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, is young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace or the temple is not for man, but for God, the Lord God. Verse 2, now I have prepared with all my might. Please notice here, who is saying this? The king. Who is the king? King David. The great King David, that God chose to be the king. He says, when I was given this opportunity to help build, but I was denied the actual building because my hands have shed too much blood, and God says, no, your son will build the house of God. He didn't give up. Here is the beauty of the call of God. When God gives you the opportunity, don't give up. Here David says, I have prepared, verse 2, with all my might, for the house of my God, I prepared gold, silver, brass, jump a line, iron, wood, stones, not granite stones, but onyx stones. These are precious stones. Here is the king. And for God's house, you give the best. You don't give rubbish. Oh, dear friends, how can we please God? How do you give to God? Listen to what the king has done here. Gold, silver, iron, wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistering stones, diverse colors, all manner of precious stones, marble, in abundance. Verse 3. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God. Oh, what a wonderful God he has. And you and I have. Do you know God? Do you know how wonderful he is? How gracious he is? And how good he is to give us an opportunity to be laborers together with God. And to give us the opportunity to give to God. Do you know that God doesn't need anything from us? For he owns everything. He is a giver. How come then we can give to him? Answer, oh dear friends, it is a privilege. God deigns and stoops to us, said, you poor creatures of dust, I let you have a part in constructing this beautiful temple for worship. And so we too today, these are the biblical fruits of giving. We must understand why we give. We give because God first gave us. We give because God has called us to give. And God is using us to be his laborers, to work together with him, to build this house, in as much as David built the most beautiful, most precious house of God in his time. We in our time have built this house. This is the fruit of our giving. And it will not be here if God's people did not give. Verse 5. The gold for things of gold, the silver for things of silver, and all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers, that is, craftsmen, experts, who then is willing to consecrate this service this day unto the Lord. Dear friends, the word consecrate here is to devote for holy use. Whenever you give, remember you are giving for holy use. Every cent that you give is to be given prayerfully, thanking God that you have enabled me. Thank God for giving me ability to earn that money and then to give it meaningfully for the use of His house. Verse 6. Now let's see what happened in David's time. The chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes and the captains and the rulers offered willingly. The word I want to stress for you is willingly. In our Bible passages we have read is cheerfully, not grudgingly. Not, I wish I can give less. Why should I give? And I give all the time. It's so painful to give. Is that how you feel? Or you just revert to small change? After all, nobody checks what I give. And there is a story told. This man put his hand not to give, but he also grabbed out some money. Oh, these are thieves in the house of God. It happened, you know. So much so that I'm told that some churches, they have a string across the mouth of this bag so that the hands cannot go in. Amazing, amazing. Dear friends, how do you give? What do you give? And what do you feel in your head when you give? In your head and in your heart, you say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that I can give. And may this gift be used fruitfully, meaningfully, for the advancement of thy kingdom. Every effort, every work done for God, every gift given to God is for one purpose only, for the advancement of His kingdom. Do you know that? You don't just put money there for nothing. We are here called to one purpose, and that is to go into the old world to preach the gospel and to win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ and to stand for the faith in a day of great falling away. And this offering goes to support all these for the sake of God's gospel. And the blessing is yours, as the blessing was David's. David was blessed. Blessed by accumulating, saving, preparing gold, silver, iron, and wood, and everything needful, the best, the best, the best. That is the theme that we must all remember. Whenever you give to God, don't give your overnight stuff, the rotten, the second hand. Small change that you put here. No, dear friends, think. Come prepared. Come with heart prepared. And as David says, I have prepared. I'm denied the privilege of building. He didn't say, oh, well, I've got nothing to do with it. Why should I give? No. Every privilege must be valued. And so David was so grateful that God allowed him to have a part in it, to prepare the stuff for his son to build the house of God. Now let's read on. Verse 9. It would be a frustration and a failure if David only gave by himself, you know. And every leader must be able to transmit the same message and the same fervent love to the members of the church. May I go back just a few verses to verse 6. Verse 6, the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes and the captains of thousands and hundreds and the rulers offered willingly. Why did they offer? Why? Because the king has set them the example. Do you know that? If the pastor does nothing and only talks and expects all the people to give, and he doesn't set an example, even as King David here, he's the leader, and he says, I did all these, I told my people, now is the opportunity. You don't get to build the house of God every day, you know. For most of us, it is one. For some of us, maybe two or three. But every blessing is with the building of the church of God, the house of God. Now, verse 9. And the people who were given the privilege to partake, to participate in the building of God's house, they rejoice. They didn't say, oh, you are so sad. Why the king taxed us of so much of our money? And then they all are glum and regret. No, never. When you are given the privilege to give to God, rejoice. Verse 9. Then the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly. As I said, in Paul's vocabulary, he says, cheerfully, not grudgingly. Here he says, willingly, happily. And they rejoice because the king had respect to them. The king says, I give, you give also. Why not we all give? Oh, the blessing is to be shared. Because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. Ah, dear friends, note the word perfect heart. If you give to God with a grudging heart, you will not receive the blessing. But rejoice every day that God has enabled you to be able to accumulate, to save, and to have something to give to God. I say, give of your best. Don't give of your second best or third best. So, let's read on. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy together with the people. What a wonderful family, isn't it? King, son of the king, all the nobles, the rulers, the captains of a thousand, captains of a hundred, all came together, and there was great joy. Now, my dear friends, when we consider the biblical fruits of giving to God, there is joy. Because with the giving, you can accomplish something that no one else can do. Do you know that? And that something goes to your credit, the building of God's great family, the house of God, extended the church of God. So this is the story of King David. Let me relate to you the building of Life Church. When a group of us left Prinsep Street, our BB church started in Prinsep Street. I'll tell you this story in a few minutes, if you bear with me. We began as a Teochew-speaking church. Why did we begin? Because the pastor and the elders said, oh, all our young people cannot speak Teochew. And they're running away. So they called Timothy Toh, my brother, you be a pastor. And we start the English service. That was 1950. And that has today grown to about 40 BP churches in Singapore. Right now. That's history. We were given the church to use in Prinsep Street. Today that church is no more. It was pulled down and rebuilt. Anyhow, at 4 p.m. every Sunday, we were given the slot. It says, the church is empty. You can use it from 4 to 5 to 6. You can use it. And you run an English service starting with Sunday school. That was very popular because in those days, everybody wants to learn English, and you come to this English service, you learn English, and you have forgotten your Teochew, doesn't matter. We were there for 12 years, 1950 to 1962. About 1960, we felt that it was time that we built, just like King David, except that we did not have gold, silver, and iron, and all that kind of thing. Anyhow, Timothy told, that is my elder brother, said, let us build. And all of us were of one heart and mind. And so we began to gather money. When he says, let's give, you know what he gave? His month's salary. He can't give more. That's all he had. And the deacon says, I can give. I applied to the university for a housing loan. And he got the housing loan and gave it all to the building fund. And so, in various ways, we collected about $200,000 or so. And we built Life Church Prinsep Street that made news about a year ago. Do you see the big blocks collapse in Gilstead Road? They were trying to build something across the street from Gilstead Road, from Life Church. That was our first experience in church building. Oh, what a blessing. Everybody brought his gift to give. Now, Life Church grew and grew until 1989. Timothy Toh says, that house across the street is good. Let's buy it. So, the price was 7.2 million. I want to read to you. This is a book written by Timothy Toh called Chronicles of Conquest. How they gave as a small church to buy the property across the street on Gilstead Road, just across the street. They didn't have the money, but they had the faith. I want to read this to you for your encouragement. Of what it means of talking about bearing fruit by your giving. Here is a case. Listen to this. This book, Chronicles of Conquest, is available in our book room if you want to read it. It is a record of 7 months of giving. 1989 to 1990. In 6.5 months, $7.2 million was raised by a small church. More than $1 million a month. The purpose of this book is to testify to God's mighty working through the Life Church members in the acquisition of Bueller House across the street from our church, the Life Church, formerly an eye clinic at 10 Gilstead Road. This is the more to remind our children of his manifold mercies to us, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. The purchase and acquisition of that property had a lesson that is worth more than the $7 million. Lessons that cannot be bought with money, but with faith. In order to keep alive the heart throbs of the events that unfolded week after week during the 6.5 month period, when $7.2 million were raised, this is the gift of not members of the church only, but you know, the news spread around Singapore, and there were people from other churches, Christians, unknown friends who came to the Reverend Timothy Toh, the pastor, with $100,000, said, I want to give it to your building fund. That is it. This giving was infectious. It even spread to other Christians. We deem it best to reproduce this week by week record, as was recorded from October the 8th, 1989 to May 13, 1990, without addition or subtraction. Just let the church records as they are be printed into a book. And this was the book that touched the hearts of the Supreme Court judges. In the appeal case, they read this. Look, this small church has raised that sum of money for church and college. And this is a rock proof of God's power to touch the hearts of people, not just of Life Church, but Christians throughout Singapore were moved to give. Why should they give? Simply because they felt moved to give to God's house. Let the church records be an encouragement for lovers of God's house. And let God speak as the readers to the reader's heart. If through these chronicles of conquest, the reader will come to know there is a living and a true God, who is so strong to save those who call on Him, and this story will not have been in vain. Hallelujah. Amen. The fruits of giving are recorded here. Today, that church across the street is rebuilt, all because God's people were giving. Your offering, dear friends, and in these red bags, will be counted after this. We have a record. We also have many avenues of expenditure. Where does this money go to? It goes to churches and missions and missionaries around the world. Some of you have used this brown envelope. You are familiar with this? Yes. It says to Hilltop Center for Biblical Studies students in Philippines. Your money, when it goes to this place, when you indicate accordingly, to the Baraka BP Church in Bethlehem, to the Bethel Development Center in Chiang Rai, Thailand, to the Creation Ministries International, CMI Australia, to Far Eastern Bible College, to Hilltop Philippines, to Jordan Mission, to Pontianak Gospel Missions. Now the land is almost procured. A land that may cost, I don't know how much, millions of rupiahs, but I don't know how to convert to Singapore dollars. To Reverend Pang Kok Hiong and family in Saipan, to Pastor Digna Dise in the Philippines, to Peter Yoksan in Pontianak, to the Saipan and China missions, to RPG ministry. Giving that bears fruit for eternity is what we have been given the privilege of having a part. Your money, your giving goes far and wide. The day is coming, dear friends, when we can give no more. Yes, when Antichrist rules, we have only then to look to the Lord's return. Today we live in crisis days, crisis conditions. We do not know what's going to happen, but we know this. The Lord says, When you see these things happen, when men's hearts are failing them for fear, because of the collapse of markets everywhere, of course, it may recover, but I say eventually there will be a great collapse. And our only hope is in God. I say, let us serve Him. Not necessarily with the money, but I want to say, we serve Him more with our heart and our lives. John Sung gave up his whole career to be a simple preacher of the gospel. He never knew God was going to use him in that way, but wherever he preached, hundreds were converted, and men and women came and confessed their sins and became servants of God. God wants not just our contribution of money. God values far more our lives. If there is someone who can think and plan and learn Mandarin and go to China, we all heard what Reverend Pang Kok Hiong said here a few weeks ago. In the 20 years, he has baptized almost 3,000. Now they are scattered throughout China. Sheep without shepherd. That is very, very sad. Think what we can do. Only one life will soon be passed. Giving of money is one thing. Giving of life is far better than giving money. Let us thank God for every opportunity to serve. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for the privilege of giving. For Thou hast given us Thy best, even Thine only begotten Son. We who have received so much, help us to examine ourselves, our own lives, what we are doing for Thee. O Lord, may Thou touch some heart, some young life to think, if only I can give myself for Thy service, O Lord, touch the hearts of someone to go for Thee and to give for Thee. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We close.